And good morning. Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. It's Monday. My name is Beth Pike. And on today's edition, our host Jessica Thomas is going to talk with Commander Thomas Mundell, who recently testified before the Missouri legislature about the need for veterans to have access to medical cannabis to help treat symptoms of PTSD. We're going to be opening up the phone lines today so we can hear your stories as well. And as always, we want you to stay tuned for the calendar of events. It comes up in the middle of the show. And then at the end of the show, it's the 420 Drug War News. But now it's Jessica and her guest.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning us in here to Jaws of Justice on 90.1 FM, KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. With me in the studio this morning is Thomas Mundell. Tom is a former member of the United States Army, and he served two combat tours in Vietnam. And also, you were with the VFW and currently vice chairman of MAVO, or M-A-V-O, the Missouri Association of Veterans Organizations. And Tom, I would like to welcome you into the studio first this morning. Thanks for joining us and coming in. You know, a lot of issues that brought us to this point today. One of them was like the glaring obviousness, which is, you know, working with veterans with PTSD and the staggering number of suicides, indicating 22 a day average, and that there's something that needs to be addressed. And Tom, you are serving with the VFW and assisting. Can you tell us just a real brief, what exactly is the role of the VFW, and what is the role of a service officer in the VFW?
Excellent question, Jessica. The Veterans of Foreign War is the nation's largest organization of combat veterans. And it originated in 1899, and we've been dedicated to helping our veterans and their service members and their families through programs designed for veterans and their families. And our logo is "No one does more for veterans than the VFW, the Veterans of Foreign Wars."
So how do you feel, why do you feel that the VFW Veterans Service Office are so effective? And by the way, I've heard this name, and who is Dennis Flynn?
Okay, we have a phenomenal veteran service officer program. One of the biggest issues that veterans have today is getting through the system. And that is sometimes a paperwork nightmare. And Dennis Flynn is the lead veteran service officer for the Veterans of Foreign Wars. And he heads up a team of tremendous individuals, all prior service members that have been highly trained and educated on the benefits and how to deal with the system. And that is one of the biggest things that we do, is we help with absolutely no compensation whatsoever any veteran. And they don't have to have served in combat, but if they served our country and they need help, they need to come to us, our service officers, and we can assist them with their paperwork and get it done the right way and make sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed.
Yeah, anything that's an organization, especially with the United States government, there's a lot of red tape and things, so you'll need someone to help navigate that system. But why did the Veterans of Foreign Wars get started?
Oh, excellent. Back in 1899, a group of individuals came forward after the wars back in those days, and those wars left so many thousands of people, veterans, wounded, exposed to all kinds of diseases and famine and stuff, and they were in very bad shape. But when they came back to their country, there was absolutely no help for them whatsoever. And a gentleman by the name of James Putnam was the founder, and back in those days, it was a merger of American Veterans of Foreign Service with the National Society of Army of the Philippines, believe it or not, and they came together and joined, developed on September 29, 1899, which is about 115 years ago, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, as a federally chartered corporation. Our purpose is fraternal, patriotic, historical, charitable, and educational.
You know, during your military service, I know, because you were shot down 11 times, I believe.
Yes.
And, you know, you received many honors, like the Silver Star, Distinguished Flying Cross, the Bronze Star Medal for Valor, and we could go on because this is like you are pedigreed. But when you came out, were you aware of the system and what was available to you? Did you find difficulty navigating? And is that what got you yourself interested in assisting?
Well, I was basically, my body broke down. I broke down physically and psychologically, and I started having a lot of physical problems. And I got to the point that I was just having terrible problems, and I went to get my DD-214, which is the form that we have to have that tells about all of our service. We turned that into the Veterans Administration to get help at the hospitals. I went to get one in at the local records center in St. Louis, and they immediately told me that, look, if you need help, son, what you need to do is get a veteran service officer. And they said, there's a place up the street, and the guy said, there's some fat old ball guys sitting at the bar, and just walk in and ask them that you want a VSO. And I was unable to walk in. I was kind of in and out of a wheelchair and trying to keep my head together. And I went there, and sure enough, I walked in and asked for that, and they immediately got me in touch with one of the greatest friends I've ever developed, was Dennis Flynn, because he immediately took charge and got me into the hospital. And after 8 major operations and a lot of prayers and help, here I am back, and I've been trying to pay forward this great thing that's happened, because all the stuff that you hear about the Veterans Administration and the veteran hospitals and things, I can't say all of it, but most of it is just for the press. The VA is probably one of the best hospital programs in the world, definitely the largest. They take care of men and women, and they do everything they can to help us. We just need to fine tweak it, and that's what we're in the process of doing. And that's what the VFW is all about, and the other veteran organizations also.
So did you know, coming out, and you were having a degeneration of physical and mental, spiritual and emotional things happening with you, did you know when you came out about the VFW, was that something that, you know, like you say, someone told you to go to? Is that something that they prepped you for?
No, I didn't even know what it meant. I didn't know what it stood for, the acronym. He said to go up and find this building up there. It was the VFW, and I went up there, and that was really my first introduction to this fine group of men and women that has fought for our country, real warriors for sure.
Yeah, I've heard from others and working with other organizations and groups that a lot of the support groups are attended by Vietnam vets, and the current crop, I hate for, you know, to say that like this is going to be something that's ongoing or perpetual, but the United States really has not had a peacetime for a very long time. So these Iraqi vets kind of are trained in the death before dishonor and not really utilizing the services. And some of what you do is designed to catch these guys and let them know, first of all, there is a system in place to catch you. And although you may, you know, feel maybe even slightly guilty coming home, like, I dug the stuff out of my job there. I was really into it. I was really focused. And perhaps coming away with conflicting feelings now that you're in peacetime, adapting to coming from this place of a warrior back into society, which now, okay, now stop being a warrior. So the death before dishonor credo has kind of hurt guys where they're kind of isolating, and maybe perhaps you all are focusing now on reaching out in more of a big brother kind of way to
mentoring,
exactly,
mentoring. That's
precisely.
You can provide drugs, you can provide help, you can provide everything, but if you're not mentored, if you don't have someone there to help and guide you and that you can depend on, the chances of success is a lot less, and that's what we try to do. We want to be there for the veteran and their family. The family goes through just as much, if not more, as the veteran themselves, because they're caught back here isolated from what's going on. They have no idea what's happening to the loved one, and we have young men, and now we have, you know, at least 25% of our warriors are women in combat, and that disrupts a lot of families back here.
And that's kind of an increase, a new trend, females that are really building up forces.
Yes.
Would you agree? And so there actually is a need for female mentors going into
sure.
that and reaching out, but also, you know, in appropriate ways to deal with things. Because, as you know, and it's not just you, but a good percentage of symptoms that are happening are kind of symptoms or side effects from prescription medication,
yes.
which many can be really ineffective or even aid in compounding the problems by throwing down. If you have someone that's emotionally distanced or isolated, and then you're giving them, or from their families, because they're like, there's... I think you were telling me. Now, there is a little bit of a handbook that's handed out for families to understand what's happening with their loved one coming back from war, kind of preparing them. You're
yes,
saying there is some brochures now.
Well, there are not only brochures, there's programs. There's
programs.
Yellow Ribbon programs,
mm-hmm.
and that the military personnel, they go through it, and they're different stations, and this goes on for a weekend maybe, and or a couple weekends, and they bring the families in, and they kind of help reacclimate the veteran and to society, and tell them all the programs that's available if they're planning to get out of the military or they're continuing their military service. What can they do to assist their own family, as well as what can the system do to assist the veteran? It's a very complicated program, and we need
war is complicated.
War is complicated. You know. It's going to be a while before our government wakes up and realizes what a democracy really stands for, which I feel is humanitarianism. And instead of us firing rockets and missiles and dropping bombs, maybe we should think about going in and developing the infrastructure of a country, putting new sewer systems in, electricity, reliable water. You know, just making things nice, putting faces, smiles on faces of the children and the parents and the grandparents, rather than tears and fears and death. And coming from me, that's kind of strange, because my job's been to basically do the opposite. When you're in the military, we're not the police department.
Right.
We're not going out to arrest someone.
Right. So we get somebody into, some assistance, and then you'll add on to that perhaps some psychiatric medications or other medications for pain. And these symptoms or side effects of these would be, say, if you're trying to bring someone closer to their family, but this psychiatric drug that they're taking causes a sexual side effect, and then, of course, a combination of another drug or high blood pressure or something is bringing on another symptom, yet that's caused by just side effects of the drugs that you're given. And it's not really like allowing for a heal. And there was kind of a moment where yourself found that you were having severe post-traumatic stress symptoms, point of impact flashbacks, some losing, it's not really losing time, we're just losing where you're at.
Right.
You know, waking up in that fear or not knowing, and your loved one will find you somewhere and not really understand what's happening, but it's not you that's there, but wanting to help you.
Right.
And your daughter was kind of aware of that. Took you aside one night. What happened?
Yeah, my daughter's been very instrumental. She's a lot younger than I am. I'm 64, and now she's 20. But her mother was only 20 when I met her.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, but I was 42. But I was going through a lot of issues, and I lost my first family's children's mother, and then other people in my family, my mom and dad. And
was this why you were in service and away
yeah.
from home that they died or
well,
we
no,
lost
it,
them?
It actually, when I got out, I was still working with the government and the military mm-hmm. at the time, and
stateside.
Stateside and overseas. I was working overseas
okay.
a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
But I just started having some issues, and I didn't really know really realize what was happening till I started losing my own people, my family. I mean, losing your children's mother, and losing your mom, your dad, and then you start losing uncles and aunts. And I know that's what happens when we get older, but then I started losing my children.
Right. And that's supposed to go before us.
Right. And then I started thinking about what I had been doing for all these years in the military. And, of course, when you're a warrior, your job is to do what you're told to do. And we're out there taking out combatants that are against us. And that's what our job is. And at the time you're doing it, you feel justified. But later you try to justify your what you've justified in your life before, and it becomes a little bit more difficult. And
you compartmentalize things, right, you know, to separate in order to function. And then that kind of like breaches, kind of spills over.
You've certainly done your homework.
Oh.
Send me a bill for this therapy session.
No problem. Well, we do. We're here to assist. You just let me know how I can be of service. But, well, we were, you know, because you had even relayed this amazing story to me about meeting another warrior in Vietnam, which was someone who, his commander showing you, this is the guy you shot,
oh,
or believes
God
that your tree was responsible, but a friendship ensued. So this was a part of a healing process. I don't want to take, because I just was reminded of the story that you were telling me, which is an amazing story, but how you started to deal with these issues. And that in itself had to have been such a bringing of a completion or an understanding of how your cause and effect affected this, even though he was shot and wounded. But you and his commander, that you actually, instead of taking out, it's just normal to do when you're in a combat situation, snatch him up and brought him in as a POW. He went on to do some amazing things and was grateful that.
Yes.
But I digress. I know it's a long story to try to tell, process.
I captured an individual, and it happened to be this general's brother that I later found out when I went back to Vietnam recently, and thanks to the VFW, went back to Vietnam and got to meet that gentleman, and life goes on. But the guy that I had captured ended up coming to the United States and becoming a professor in international studies and relations.
How perfect is that, huh?
In the United States. So that was kind of a... And I was glad to hear that. I was glad to hear that because that shows that things do happen for the good and it's not all bad.
Right. But through this process, and you've gotten yourself into... Well, first of all, I mean, being a soldier, and there's a chain of command, and you are very dedicated to this. This is your life, and you stand for our country, and it is like what you are told. You take a directive, and this is what happens. So you come home, and you're working on stress-related issues that are now kind of leaking over from the compartments. They can no longer be contained, kind of like the foam coming out and oozing out into all parts of your life. And you had a moment.
Yes, I was having a very bad time, and my daughter Madison's mother found me outside in a garden, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I was all muddy and everything, and I was just having a terrible time. And she came up to me and she said, "You know, I'm going to lose you. We're going to lose you," and. Please try to relax. And I was taking an unbelievable regime of medications at the time. And I think, and I want to say one thing. People come down on these medical regimes, pharmaceutical regimes that you get on in the VA, but these doctors are trying to do everything that they can to help us. Nobody's trying to hurt anybody. And that was one of the things that they did, and it did help me until that particular evening. And I grew up a Southern Baptist, no drinking, no smoking of anything.
Right.
And
especially now.
And even in Vietnam, I never saw any. I know it was there now. I realize that, but I never was involved in it. Maybe it was the work I was doing, but. I found out, and I was really against anything that was I don't want to say illegal, but if Uncle Sam said
no,
it was no.
Right.
I was a green machine.
There was no
and I was
gray
proud of
area.
It, and I still am
right.
proud of it. And I believe in our democratic society and our democracy. And if you need change, that's what you need to do is try to change things. You don't just abruptly break the law or do stupid things
right.
just because you may not agree with the system the way it's been developed in the past. And that's what it came down to at that particular situation. The young lady that I was with at the time, my daughter's mother, she suggested that I tried something, and I pushed it away, and she gave it back to me and said, please, just try this. I thought it was a cigarette.
Right.
And I found out later that it wasn't. And but she said something to me, because within about 30 minutes, we're still sitting in the mud and dirt, and she goes, you know what you're doing right now? You've never done since I've known you? And I said, no. And she goes, I've never seen you laugh.
Hmm.
And she goes, of course you smile, you find humor in things.
Right.
But I've never seen you laugh. And I had heard that two other times in my life, and both of the people that said that are dead.
Right.
And they died because of tragic circumstances in their life and in my life. And it's just difficult to deal with when you know things could have been different if you would have been a different type of man. And unfortunately, I wasn't. I was certainly not a good husband, and I was certainly not a good father, and I had to learn to set my military and my combat to the side and try to become that man and that father that my children needed, and it's taken a lot to do that, and I can thank God that I was lucky enough to be gifted the opportunity to do that, regardless of the means that was brought me
right.
around.
Right. And that moment just kind of opened your mind to something different and a new way of doing it, knowing that this is an organic material, though, you know, yeah, and it kind of worked for you. It gave you some relief.
But it gave me some personal relief, but I said nothing.
But it was a quandary.
Even, right,
because it was a quandary.
It was a terrible quandary. Because
another
I knew
thing
it was
you
wrong.
Had to hide down.
I knew it was wrong.
Down, right.
And it was another thing I had on my head, and I never said anything to anyone, and I'm sure very few people recognized it. But the issue is that I had family members. One of my focuses as the state commander for the Veterans Foreign Wars was catastrophically injured veterans and their families. And some of these veterans just think about what kind of feelings you would have in your mind if you're catastrophically wounded, if you can't think straight, or you have no limbs, or
and that pain medicine has you clouded,
and the pain medication,
and you're in bed,
and you're in bed, and you can't think straight, and you want life to be different, you just can't accept it for the way it is, and then you're given all these drugs, and of course they're trying to help you,
of course,
and then suddenly something is introduced to these people, and they find that, unbelievably, that suddenly their life, they feel that they're only existing. They're not living. They're existing, and they really want a second chance. They feel if God is just, that the second time around, they'll let them be a whole person, or their mind will be whole, or their body will be whole, and they can continue on with life normally second time around, and they want a second chance sooner than later. And so the first thing that they want to do is try to take themselves out, and that's what we've got to today. Now we've got veterans all over the world that are taking a very difficult road out of existence by committing suicide. I mean, 15, 20, and now it could be up to close to 22 people a day. And we need to do something about this. But the issue was, these people that was in this catastrophic event was given this, and these medicinals, and it seemed to recreate a feeling of life within them, and that they were able to deal with their life, not their existence, but their life. They found humor in life again.
Going forward.
And I think that's what it did for me.
Tom, you know, really breathe, because we're like right there. And I don't want to stop because it's like a natural spot where we can breathe. So we've got to do a, I need to let people know that they're listening to the Jaws of Justice show here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm host Jessica Thomas. My guest Tom Wendell is joining. We're talking about post-traumatic stress disorders, coming home, medical cannabis, what's in front of us, where do we go? We're going to take a really quick break, and we're going to be back up. We're going to possibly open up these phones. If anybody needs to talk to us, we'll give you the number after the show.
Now, the calendar for the week of April 6th, 2015. The Criminal Justice Task Force will meet tonight, Monday, April 6th, from 6:45 to 8:45 p.m. at the Church of the Good Shepherd, 4947 Choteau Drive, KCMO. There will be an update on Senate Bill 189 and what you can do to help. They also ask that you bring a non-perishable item for the school backpack program. For information, contact Robin Johnson at 816-522-4081 or email Red Rob, that's REDROB 2655 at yahoo.com. The Kansas City Chapter of Missourians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty will meet Tuesday, April 7th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church, 4501 Walnut, KCMO. They will be discussing the pending executions of Andre Cole and Kimber Edwards, as well as future fundraising and tabling opportunities. The Missouri Legislative Black Caucus is hosting a town hall meeting Saturday, April 11th, 1 to 3 p.m. at Paseo High School, 4747 Flora, KCMO. You are invited to bring your concerns to legislators from across the state. For more information, contact Representative Brandon Ellington's office at 573-751-3129. Mothers of Incarcerated Sons and Daughters will have their monthly meeting Saturday, April 11th, from noon to 2 p.m. at the Waldo Branch Library, 201 East 75th Street, KCMO. If you have a loved one that is incarcerated and need advice and support, MISD has members that may be able to help. My name is Jeff Humfeld, reminding you that these events and more can be found on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page, as well as the Jaws of Justice Radio page on the KKFI website, kkfi.org.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Jaws of Justice on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. My guest in the studio is me, Tom Wendell. He is the very most decorated and respected service member who is here. You're also working with the VFW, and I know you were going to be running for an office as well, but we're going to, you know, go back to the story that we're at, because I really want to finish this week, because we're talking about now. You're working with, because of your position, actually, what you were...
Yeah, I was. I had kind of focused on these catastrophically injured people, and it, of course, it's the toll is really on them. They're the ones that's stressed the most. They're in the situation, but visiting them and being around them on a daily basis, it's very difficult sometimes because, you know, you can't go in and say, how are you doing today? Having a good day? Because they're not going to have a good, they're not having a good day. They're not happy because they're in a very difficult situation, and that went on and on and on for years. And then all of a sudden, the parents called me, and some came and got me and took me to their home. And on the way down there, they said, "We need to discuss something with you. We're scared to death that that my children are going to be put in prison." And I couldn't understand what was going on. And I knew how much these people really was trying to end their lives and stuff like that. And I was freaking out, wondering, what is going on? What is she trying to say?
They want assisted suicide or something.
Yeah,
what's going
I was thinking yeah. euthanasia. What are they going to ask me to get involved in? And she said, look, we just want you to know what the facts are and see what the situation is now versus what it was. And so you make a good decision, because as a leader, you sometimes in a leadership position, you have to set your personal feelings aside. Never your values or your honor, but or your integrity, but you have to set your personal feelings aside and educate yourself and gain knowledge and research things so that you hopefully can develop the wisdom to make the right decisions for the masses. Well, that's what I had to do in this case, because when I got there to the house, the family introduced me to their child, and there was a whole bunch of other family members there, and there was a lot of laughter, and I had been in this room many times with this young man, and it was always dark and blue, the lighting in there, and now all of a sudden the windows are all open, and they're all laughing and stuff, and people are talking, and they were bringing me iPads with their children on it, giving me a message, you know, please support this because my life has changed, and they said, life. They never talked about life. They never asked me how I was doing. And on their iPad, one of the first things, hi, Tom, you know, we love you. How are you doing? I know that's weird that to hear that from me. And and I want you to know I'm feeling good today. And I never heard these people ever say that they felt good. And I was wondering, what is the big change? What is the big change here? And the only common denominator that I found at that time was that they said that they had been introduced to medicinal cannabis, and I was totally set back by it because.
You're like, what?
Well, I was, because I was totally out of my element.
Yeah, that's hippie stuff.
Well, yeah, but and besides
against
that,
the law.
It's against the law, and we have to set an example as a leader, and also you want to do the right thing for everybody. And I said that to them. I said, this is illegal. I said, I can't be supportive of something that I don't know anything about. And she goes, yeah, but aren't you the one that said? And I had heard this from other legislators, senators and representatives in the state, as well as some even higher ranking individuals that said, you know, in a leadership position, you've got to set your personal feelings aside, educate yourself, learn what's going on, and make that wise, gain some of that wisdom, and make a wise decision. Mm-hmm. And I certainly did. I went and did my homework. Before I said anything to anybody, I went to Colorado a couple of times. I went to Washington State. I went to Washington, D.C. I talked, interviewed doctors, lawyers.
But in this particular instance, both were patients that you or formal enlisted that had, said to you, we want to end our lives. These were two people that
they definitely
multiple amputees.
I've had them beg me, you know, please, I want a second chance. I know if you swore, you promised me you'll do anything that I'd ever ask you to do.
Right.
And I said, of course, I'll do anything. And then they say, I want you to hold that hose there shut for 4 minutes and turn around and walk out of here and never come back.
Right. And you're thinking, yeah.
And they want relief. They don't want to die.
Right.
They want relief. They want a new life, and they think that they're going to wake up the next morning, they're going to come back, and they'll be whole again, or they'll be their minds will be back together.
Right.
And unfortunately, that's not the way it is in reality. And
so
we want to bring peace of mind.
So these are two different individuals, a male and a female that you're working with.
Yeah, but that's just two. That was just two.
This little story, for our purposes.
And, I mean, they hated the way things were for them, and now all of a sudden they got to know each other. And one had a monitor next to him and at his house, and she had a monitor next to her at her house. And they could communicate effectively, and she jokingly said, "We're going to be the first ones like us in the country to get married, or at least write a book together." And and so they're actually got a prayer. And I was so shocked because I've seen nothing but in the beginning when all the hoopla is there, they're fine. But eventually everybody goes away.
Right.
And these veterans and their families are left alone to deal with these
unbelievable
issues that never go away. I mean, we walk out the door. We walk out the door and we put it behind us. But they're on the other side of that door, and they're still there. And, you know, it's a catastrophic, terrible situation. Our medical science has got us to the point that they can save us after our whole bodies are torn apart, which is wonderful.
Tom, just really briefly, because we talked about doing the call-in show, but I want to get to the story. But if there is a listener that needs assistance, and enlisted or not, a former vet that's a vet,
sure.
We could call us here and at 816-931-5534 and talk to the person that answers the phone. We're going to try to get you on the air, but I want to finish the story. But we want you to know that you can reach out. We're going to help you try to get the resources that you need. You could call 816-931-5534. Jess Homsfeld's there to gather your number. We're going to try to open the phones, but we want to complete the story because it's really important to what we're talking about. Go ahead.
I just want to say one thing about all veteran organizations have veteran service officers.
Right.
Of course, I'm a little partial.
And they can't talk about cannabis, okay?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
So here we go.
And that really has nothing to do with assisting and aiding our veterans when it comes to getting them the help and care that they require. I'm partial to the VFW service officers because of their success rate.
Right.
I mean, they recover $2 billion a year.
They're good at their job.
$2.5 billion a year across the nation our VFW service officers do. And in St. Louis, Dennis Flynn, the gentleman you were talking about, him and the other service officers in the office there and in Kansas, we've got seven locations around that we've got our service officers at, and they do everything they can to make sure that the veterans are paperwork and
so in this situation, is that
correct.
What you were to these two individuals?
Excuse me?
In this situation, is that what you were? Were you their service officer?
No, I'm not a service officer.
Or were you a commanding officer? Or were you their liaison?
That was a focus group I had taken upon myself to focus on because I felt they needed mentoring. They needed someone there, and I was drawn to that group of people.
And they were
already veteran service officers. They've already been helped. They're 100%, you know. But now they need more than that. They need mentoring. They need somebody there. They need a friend.
And so they did their own research, and they brought you to this and said,
yes,
we need you to support us or walk out and not say anything.
Right. They wanted me to walk out and not say anything if I wasn't going to be able to support them. And if I was, they wanted someone that was able to communicate effectively to the legislators, and we need to do this correctly. The worst thing that can happen is people just on their own go and try to buck the system and say, I don't care what the system says, I'm going to do this anyway.
And they get in trouble and
they're getting
make
in trouble.
It worse.
It makes things worse for everybody and destroys themselves, their reputation, et cetera.
So you see this miraculous change.
It was a miraculous change. These people are laughing and smiling. And then in my travels of an experience of trying to educate myself on this process, I found nothing but good.
Right.
Nothing but good. Yes. I found really in my own personal experience, I've just never found anybody against it. I've had a couple oldie but goodie retired people from some federal agencies.
Reaper
that,
madness.
Kind of. Mm-hmm. But and they got their own feelings, and I appreciate it. This is a democracy. We live in America, and a lot of people died so they could feel any way they want to.
Right.
And that's what...
For that.
Right. And we should... Americans should be the last person that starts to degrade somebody for the way they're acting, I mean, dressed or being in this country, because that's what America's all about, you know. But we want to do things the right way. And that's why we needed to try, after I personally found that I think this was something that not only needed to be researched, but now action had to take place, because we had to offer something, an alternative that was not a man-made pharmaceutical that has so many
more problems.
Yeah, it's just, I'm not saying it's bad. Some people need those, but there needs to be an alternative out there that they have a choice. Hey, do you want to take 12 hydrocodone and Oxycontin today? Or would you consider trying this medicinal product, and it's natural, and just see how it makes you feel? And it works. It really does. It's changed their life. And just from the experience of the people that I've interviewed, and all the stuff that you hear on the news, that crime has escalated and all this other crap. I mean, sorry, all this other stuff that has happened in these cities like Denver. It's not true. Crime hasn't escalated, and people are smoothing out,
and they're finding peace.
And one of the greatest things is people that were on heroin and causing all kinds of trouble and stuff, and once they were able to get this legally, they've actually been able to get themselves out of that terrible lifestyle, mellow out a little bit, and get their mental faculties actually back together, which is kind of the exact opposite. People think that medicinal cannabis or something like that will actually do for people.
The
truth is, it's very therapeutic.
And we have 198 receptors in our brain just waiting for it.
Right. And we have our own endocannabinoids in our own bodies. And we're just supplementing that just to calm and even out our body and our minds. So I'm not a flower child by no means.
Right, and so you're introduced to this concept. You're seeing the miraculous benefits. How did you find yourself all of a sudden
I had to look back at myself and realize, hey, look, this has helped me. And I got the opportunity, the VFW, thank God, they came in my life. And I had wonderful mentoring people from the top at national headquarters, the state, the district, all the way down to the post level, everybody working together, wanting us to be all we can be, warriors in our society today. And we were warriors in the battlefield. Today we're warriors in the community, wanting to do the right thing at the right time for the right people. And to do that, you have to have a level head. And it seems that these things have been able to assist a lot of people in that direction.
Yeah.
And I think we need to wake up and at least give it an opportunity so research can be done. And right or wrong, we need to find out what the facts are. But everything I'm discovering and we're discovering now, it seems as though that it's an atrocity that this has been held back from American society, and everything's been built up so much against it.
Indeed. And then you've got someone who's out fighting and protecting our way of life, our freedom of speech, our democracy, and all of it we believe that we stand for. And then to come here and be persecuted, jailed, and be a criminal in your own country. But not just that, it's in certain states you're not a criminal. In other states, you could go to prison.
Right.
But the thing is, in the legal states, what's happening is that awakening, and everyone's seeing that it is helpful. So you find yourself in Jefferson City,
I was testifying on other veteran issues also.
Again, 816-931-5534. Our producer's standing by. We can get your phone number, and we will definitely follow through with you to assist you to get service or any assistance that you need. We were going to open up the phone lines, but I think it's more important we tell this story right now. And we've got about a little under 10 minutes to do it. So I want to, let everyone know. Do call us for assistance, 816-931-5534. Jeb will be there. He'll, field this for you. We want you to know that this is the place. This is the time for you to reach out. For assistance will guide you in there. But Tom is telling this amazing story, how you find yourself, testifying and standing up. And by the way, thank you.
It was very difficult to come out of the show.
It's like coming out of the closet saying,
right.
Yeah, because the repercussions could be huge.
Right. And the worst thing I could have done was disrespect all the people that had faith in me and has helped me in the past. And I did not want to jeopardize that friendship or bring discredit to an organization or to any veteran or anybody or the military over anything that I was doing. And so that's why I had to really do my research and make sure that what I was seeing was factual, and try to get as much knowledge as I and information as I possibly could, and I did. But if somebody has a question, if somebody has a question and they want to call and ask a question about any of the things, any of the information we've gone over to this point, that's fine. I mean, it's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try to answer. If we don't have the answer, we got a million people out there we can find.
Just imagine you're sitting in there, and it's like on the record. Your heart's got to be in your chest.
Yeah, I didn't and realize that until I saw YouTube.
There's my heart. Look it. It's in my mouth there.
Right. You can't get away from that one.
Right. I know exactly. And so on the record, it is a better effect. You stood up for these veterans who are finding relief and want people to know that you can indeed get relief. It is here. And in 22 states, there is a provision for you. And how we change this is through our house, and this is a process of the people, for the people.
Political system must be used.
And you've got to do it. You can't just say, we have a system in place. You actually have to participate.
Right.
And so Tom did, and it was wonderful. The testimony was wonderful and heartfelt. And it assisted you in so many ways, and it can help so many more. How did that...
Well, I just found a lot of veterans, and once I started that, I had nothing but positive responses, people coming out and saying, you know, I've been afraid to say anything, but when people are on regimes of, 30, 40, 50 plus pills a day, and all of a sudden they're able to reduce that down to nearly nothing. And I'm not saying that anybody should stop taking
their
medications
yes.
or anything,
mm-hmm.
but these people, after the time, and this is they're conveying this to me, they said that they were able to, they felt no withdrawal symptoms, issues, mm-hmm. that suddenly they didn't feel really a need to drop that pill that mm-hmm. day. So they kind of kept going and using... But see, that's self-medication, and that's bad, too.
When you're with what they discovered was the plant.
They need to be able to talk to their doctor. The
exactly.
doctors need to know. That's what the doctors told me. They want to know about it. They want to, because the doctor will tell you there's not a pill made on earth that if you take enough of them, it won't kill you. They're going to kill you. But medicinal cannabis and things, you can consume it, and it... And most strains or some strains will only thing, the worst thing that can happen to you, you're going to gain some weight and sleep a lot.
Mm.
And you'll be mellowed out and quiet and you'll probably feel a lot better. But realistically speaking, it is against the law, and people need to stand up. And if they want change, they
really?
Need to create that change by personal involvement and getting out there and getting the facts. And realizing that it can be done the proper way, and you don't just do something because you think it's the right thing to do and you're going to buck the system. Absolutely not. I think changes need to be made and done properly at the congressional level.
Indeed.
National, especially now, right now.
And not fearing repercussions for standing up, because we do actually have that right. It's a constitutional right.
Right.
You know, everyone, and as I say, everyone is entitled to their opinion, but the facts are, and it's not opinion, it's not hearsay, the scientific proof is there, the facts are there, and in cannabis, like it's smoked, will help with relief PTSD in an immediate way. Also, but the concentrated oil, it benefits for the health benefits from mental, from stopping withdrawal effects from medications that are habit-forming.
Irritable bowel syndrome.
IBS. I mean, just a host of other things that are assisting with this and the education process. And really what even the VA doctors are just looking for permission to be able to address the issue, speak it. We know that there are 22 other states that you could go to, so you can leave, but just be able to have the physician be able to say to you, this is your option. You need to cross borders and go there. You become
right.
a medical refugee. You have to leave your home. But there is a hope out there, and thanks to you that, you know, this has been made aware, and people are researching and doing their homework and finding out. It's like, it's not peer pressure. It's like, let's look at this realistically. you know, what is the truth of the matter, and getting down to the crux of the truth of the matter, the research is there to support it.
And the best organization I've ever been in my life was the Veterans of Foreign Wars, and I think they've got the focus that's required by these veterans, no matter what their situation is, to help and assist them. I really do. And I think people should look at that and go to their local VFW post, call them, call the national headquarters here in Kansas City, and tell them that they want to know what the VFW is all about, and we'll get somebody there, and we'll start mentoring them.
Yeah, not just that, but you don't have to be formally served to assist in this process as a community member.
In the military?
Right.
Absolutely not, no.
Right. So you don't have
community
to.
Activism is part of our culture, and it should be, because that is how change is made.
And in order for someone to get involved, could you give them a first step or a phone number or contact information? You look at me with wide eyes. But what would be like the first step for outreach? Who would they reach out? Say, you just call the VA. Who would be the guy that you start with?
Actually,
first call on your list to me.
I'll tell you what. If I was trying to get some information in reference to the VFW, I would probably call the 800 number, the 866-789-6333 number, and tell them that you want to find a good service officer in their area. Where would I go to get a good service officer? You can go to a local VFW post and try to find that out, but they need to have someone in their corner.
You know what? You believe that time blew by, Tom?
Wow.
I know. And we have to wrap it up. And first, I want to thank my guest, Tom Mundell.
It's an honor. Thank you for your friendship and you having me.
You're amazing.
It's a blessing.
You're really helping everyone get to the source of peace in their life and something we could do in the community for each other. But I want to thank my guest, Tom Mundell, today here on the Jaws of Justice at 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City's Community Radio. Together we can make a huge change. I want to thank you all for tuning in today and joining us.
Thank you, Jessica.
Thanks,
appreciate
Tom.
It.
It's the 420 Drug War News. The following story comes to us out of Longview, Texas. It is courtesy of KLTV.
The debate over whether medical or even recreational marijuana should be legalized was at the heart of a fundraiser in East Texas today. Medical marijuana has been used to treat seizure victims, and it's gotten the endorsement of politicians like State Representative David Simpson, who wants to allow the drug's usage statewide. New tonight, East Texas News Weekend's Bob Hallmark has the story of an East Texas boy who needs that drug and the political effort to help him get access.
This fundraiser at VFW 4002 was to help 6-year-old Layton Johnson, who needs medical marijuana. He suffers from dozens of seizures each day, and his family has tried everything.
He's had seizures since he was 9 months old. He's fixing to be 6 years old next month. That he's had a little over 54,000 seizures. Every day that goes by, we just feel like his brain is getting scarring from all the seizures he's having, so we can't wait any longer.
Sedative medications aren't working.
We've tried almost everything that we can to try to suppress the seizures, and it gets harder and harder and harder to just see him suffer. 20 medications basically that we give him on a regular basis.
Medical marijuana in oil form is known to control seizures.
If we could suppress those seizures, we might start seeing some developmental changes and start hitting some milestones and maybe talk or walk or crawl one day. When he smiles or he giggles, it just lights up our world.
Representative David Simpson and Gregg County Commissioner Daryl Primo support legalization and say Layton's case illustrates the need.
This is an opportunity for people to use a plant responsibly to help their son that's suffering from 20 to 100 seizures per day.
So 21 states have now legalized this for medicinal purposes. It is legal in Colorado to seek medical assistance in these cases, and yet it is still against both state and federal law in Texas.
The money is for Layton and his family to travel to Colorado for treatment in marijuana oil form.
There is a medicine that could potentially save my son's life, and it's just outside of our reach. I can't thank everybody enough for what they've done today.
Like any good father, John will go wherever he has to help his son. Bob Hallmark, East Texas News Weekend.
The goal is to raise around $8,000 for the family to stay in Colorado for that medical marijuana treatment.
I urge you to check out the most recent Cultural Baggage Show. It features an interview with young Alexis, the 9-year-old who had to move from Texas to obtain her supply of medical cannabis. It all seems rather ironic when you realize they began this drug war by saying it was for the children. Dean Becker, DrugTruth.net.
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
We hope you enjoyed today's show and that we leave you with something to think about, something to talk to your neighbors about, and a reason to get involved. As always, the opinions expressed are those of the host and guest of Jaws of Justice Radio, not of KKFI, the Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated, its staff, or volunteers. You can find our calendar of events and a link to our show episodes and podcast on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page. If you have a show idea or want to help produce Jaws of Justice Radio, email us at jawsofjusticeradio@yahoo.com. And you can always listen to us live and find podcasts of our show on the KKFI website, that is kkfi.org. We thank our engineer, Beth Pike, for her work today. My name is Melvin Merritt, asking you to tune in for the rest of our 9 a.m. weekday lineup with Law and Disorder on Tuesday, Alternative Radio on Wednesday, Tell Somebody with Tom Claymer on Thursday, and Between the Lines at 9 a.m., followed by Bioneers at 9:30 a.m. on Fridays. Up next is Beautician Blues with Luscious Lynn, and at noon, Arts Magazine with Michael Ho. Stick around for jazz and blues in the afternoon and Eco Radio KC at 6 p.m. Then round out your day with the spicy Latin sounds of Sabor Latino and Fiesta Musical.
Myself how to understand, gonna make myself a better.